If you're talking about it,
it's always about the money. Everything else is just conversation.
We're talking about it.
No excuses. Just find a way to get it done.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
Well, for crying out loud, if we haven't set a record already today, the Dow 19,000 rally caps are on. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, arguably the world's best-known stock market gauge, crossed the 19,000 barrier in stock market early trading today. First time in the 120-year history. Well, first time we've passed 1,000, things since 18,000. So it's been going up for quite a while. I mean, you know, you watch it, it goes up. In the opening minutes of trade, the Dow Jones rose as high as 55 points to hit a new record intraday high of 19,013 and 12 cents.
Does that mean people in the near future are expecting things to go the way of business?
Probably. It has since traded back below the milestone, but still up nearly 40 points, or 0.2%. After Monday's record-breaking day, when the Dow Industrial Average, a large company Standard & Poor's 500 stock index, tech-dominated NASCAP composite, and the small-cap Russell 2000 all eclipsed and all closed at record highs at the same date for the first time since Halloween of 1999.
Wow.
The Dow is making fresh headlines, and they will get a big shove on the evening news tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good.
Well, we had a report, too, this morning that U.S. home sales in October, they're selling at the fastest pace in about 10 years. Helped out by, of course, low mortgage rates.
Low mortgage rates will help, but the mortgage rates have been starting, down for some time.
Well, but they're starting to climb now.
Yeah. People have money.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
apparently.
That's what all of this means.
I think it means recovery.
People have money. The only thing lagging I've noticed up on MSNBC is healthcare.
Yeah.
Healthcare stocks not doing well today.
Campbell Soup stocks. Doing great. Hormel.
That means
doing
people
great.
Are treating themselves.
Apparently, they're buying cans of food.
Yeah. Drinking soup, eating sausage.
Soup and Spam. There we go.
Hamburger. Yeah. Sausage is always good.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, good start for the day. And all of the doom and gloom predictions about the Donald Trump presidency and the fact that futures on election night dropped 700.
Yeah.
And then it opened up. So there
were those who were going to panic, and then there were those who thought, hey, what a great time of year.
Mm-hmm. If I was Obama, I'd be out there going, see, I got the market above 19,000.
I'm still president.
It's on my watch, baby.
Mm-hmm.
And we still have 2 months to go. So, I don't know. It's all good, though. President-elect Trump. We'll talk about this when we come back after our final traffic check. President-elect Trump says he will not pursue charges against Hillary Clinton relating to the Clinton Foundation or the former Secretary of State's use of a private email server. Former Trump campaign manager Kellyanne Conway said Tuesday.
Well, and
I wonder why they called her former campaign manager, but the campaign's over.
That's a good point.
So she'll probably get another position. She's pretty sharp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's kind of expected. I mean, most of what I've read says it's expected that if they decide to press any kind of charges against her, that she'll be pardoned at the very end of the Obama administration. Which could happen.
Well, yeah, but he said he wouldn't press charges once he's in office. Can't really press charges now, I guess. Or could he?
Well, I'm not sure. But if they decide to even, you know, announce that there's a possibility of charges, because a presidential pardon can pardon you of anything you've either done or might have done, and so you can't be sued for it or charged with it in the future.
So even if you haven't been charged with a crime, you can be pardoned?
Yes.
It's the American way.
I know.
A memorial for a Boise police canine has been set for later today. We'll have a preview coming up on 670 KBOI.
Remember, you are listening to Idaho Talks Live on 670 KBOI.
KBOI News Time 850, stock market. Where are we now? We're just a little below 19. Now we're at 1878. So 22 points below 1900, but we have surpassed 1900 for the first time in history this morning. And Tom, good morning. Tom, good morning. Hi, Tom.
Oh, good. My phone cracked.
No, that was my fault, I think.
Okay. I think it's a little early to be giving credit to the economy turning around to Trump.
Oh, of course it is.
Last year, you've heard how terrible the economy was. You know, and as a guy that works in the building trade, it's been pretty dang good for me for the last year or two.
Now, Chris also had a thing on house sales, home sales, mm-hmm. and how they've come up. You've noticed that as well, right?
Right. But
and
this,
obviously
this
before the election.
Yes, this happened before the election. It's kind of like the same crowd that when it crashed in 2008 and Obama was elected, all of a sudden it was Obama's fault that the economy crashed. I think we need to wait a year, then we'll have a judgment about what's happened.
I think that's probably good advice.
Well, thank you very much. Have a good day.
All right, thank you. Yeah, and that's true, and he's right. Remember how mm-hmm. they when the market crashed in 2007, Obama was just first in office, it was all his fault. And he's still in office, so wouldn't this be his fault? I don't know. The stock market is so volatile. And the smallest things will tip it off sometimes. Like, you know, when England announced the Brexit thing.
Right.
You know, all the markets are going, psh, except for ours. Ours didn't go down that much, so the rest of them went, oh, okay, and went back up to where they were.
So where others see disaster, we see opportunity.
Well, yeah, kind of. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, sort of, yeah.
You know, it's panic, I mm-hmm. think.
Well, probably.
Yeah. Let's go to Greg of Meridian. Greg, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Hey, I just want to follow up that call. Let me school in a little bit.
Okay.
The economy in this country has really nothing to do with the presidency. This is something I do every single day, 6-7 days a week. It's the American people. It's the guys that are building. It's people that are reassessing their budget. It's people that are back to work. It's low interest rates, which are going to change. You know, a lot of what drives the market is 401ks, individual investors. You know, the presidents can sit back and say, well, it was our economic policy that we did. No.
And they only say that when the market's up.
Exactly. So, you know, people need to concentrate. People are starting to figure out that Social Security is neither social nor secure. And they're starting to take the bull by the horns. Not everybody, but a lot of people are saying, you know what, this isn't going to be left up to someone else. If you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to have about what you got.
That's true. Those with the means are investing and saving more.
Well, that's true. And I think everybody needs to. I'm a little concerned about the millennials because they're a free-spirited group of people. And, you know, that isn't really their focus. They live free. They like that stuff. They don't like to be tied down. It's a little bit more discipline than I think some of them can handle.
And then someday they're going to be 65 years old and have $40 in the bank.
Well, Paul J., it's even more than that. My parents are in their late 70s and 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Their health care and their long-term care, you know, there are some situations where my dad couldn't get that kind of stuff. If they don't plan, you're going to inherit, used to be you inherit your kids' kids.
Yeah.
Now you're going to inherit your parents, and it's your responsibility, not society's. And then that generation may inherit us, but I'm not going to allow that. I'm going to plan for that so that, one, I don't have to live with them, and two, they don't have to live with me.
That's kind of where I am. I don't want to.
No, and you hit the nail on the head 99% of the time. But you know what? It's the American people that drive this economy. It's their attitudes. It's getting out there, and there isn't any too much of any other way that you can try to, as a middle-class person or hard-working person, where you can try to invest your money for the long term, get a consistent return or try, and try to end up at the finish line ahead.
Yep. So all you can do is give it a shot. And, you know, and like you say, you got to save. And if you save a certain amount of money, you know, through a 401k or whatever, you don't miss that money.
No, what you don't see, you don't spend. What you don't have, you don't miss. And here's the deal. The more you save, the less the market matters.
That's also true.
Yeah. All right. That's great. Yeah, guys, go Broncos.
Good All stuff. Right. Thanks. Go Broncos.
To a certain extent, I agree that it's basically the American people, but you know, quite often they're reacting to a series of events that the president may have set in motion.
Okay, yeah, and I was going to use the word attitude. It's basically the attitude of the investors that, you know,
oh, we got a minute.
Makes it go. So it's not 9 o'clock yet.
Yes, you're right.
So, I mean, it's the attitude of the public, the attitude of the investor.
Yeah.
You know, are you positive? Are you negative? How mm-hmm. are you feeling today? You know,
but, you know, especially if somebody's maybe
and if you're buying houses, they're building more.
If they're invested in companies that have a lot of overseas investment,
mm-hmm.
You know, because the president can make some sort of a policy statement, maybe about the Middle East, like maybe the last 8 years or so. Somebody's mm-hmm. been doing that, and it can affect an awful lot of, well, the stock markets around the world.
Sure. And then they affect us.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the way it works.
It all kind of works together.
Symbiotic relationship.
A lot of times in the kind of way that a losing team does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because everybody's pointing at everybody else.
We're running the correct plays. We're just not running them correctly.
Exactly. All right. KBOI News time is 8:56. We'll be back with another hour. We're going to talk after a news break at the top of the hour about Donald Trump not pursuing charges against Hillary Clinton. And Chris has something from the Democrats in the state of
Idaho. From the Idaho Democrats, a rapid response team, which sounds like they're chasing disasters, and maybe they are, but it might not be what you think.
If you're talking about it,
it's always about the money. Everything else is just conversation.
We're talking about it.
No excuses. Just find a way to get it done.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
Stock market has backed off a little bit below 1900, down to about 1880. But it did break 19,000. I'm sorry, it did break 19,000 earlier today. Now it's at 18,987. So, still up there.
Very close. Yes.
Yeah. President-elect Donald Trump will not pursue charges against Hillary Clinton relating to the Clinton Foundation or the former Secretary of State's use of a private email server, former Trump campaign manager Kellyanne Conway said this morning. Surprise you at all?
A little bit.
Really?
A little bit, because it is one of the things that he talked a lot about.
Yeah, I never thought he would pursue him. In an interview with MSNBC's Morning Joe, she's on everything. Conway said that while Clinton has to face the fact that a majority of Americans don't find her to be honest and trustworthy, it would be a good thing if Trump can help her heal.
However, again, that wasn't the flavor of the campaign.
No, not at all. I think when the president-elect, who's also the head of your party, tells you before he's even inaugurated he doesn't want to pursue these charges, it sends a very strong message, tone, and content, she said. The move is a significant break from Trump's campaign rhetoric, which included a warning that if he were president, he'd get his attorney general to appoint a special prosecutor to investigate her behavior. And in the second presidential debate, he said to Clinton, if he was president, you'd be in jail.
Yeah. That's the one statement I most remember.
Yeah, and at Trump's campaign rallies, cries of lock her up were a common feature.
Well, yeah, and he was always mentioning lies and deception. And, you know, and of course, you know, nicknamed her Crooked Hillary.
Yeah. Conway also indicated that there were a number of things Trump was looking at as president-elect that may differ from his campaign rhetoric. I think he's thinking of many different things as he prepares to become president of the United States, things that sound like the campaign aren't among them, she added. I think one of those might be building the wall. Trump's decision not to pursue charges against Clinton would not prevent congressional Republicans from opening investigations and referring them to the Justice Department.
Yeah, also good point. I mean, just because he's saying he won't do it doesn't mean someone else might not.
Yeah.
I think that I think he probably at this point considers that campaign rhetoric. That the reason he was always calling her crooked Hillary and telling, you know, saying you should be in jail and things like that was to tell people that if you want, you know, if you don't want someone in office who should have a criminal record, then don't vote for her. Mm-hmm. Probably, or very possibly never intending to prosecute her for anything, but just letting people know that this is a possibility. So, you know, you should vote for me and not vote for her.
Yeah. Trump is basically released a video outlining his first 100 days. We got a kind of a sneak preview of it last week and had some things on. He also has met with press today, members of the press of many networks, including the major three, I think, and CNN. I don't know who else was there.
CBS was there.
CBS was there. Yeah, the major three were all there, I think.
Mostly just the New York Times, they were not there.
That meeting Fox is back
was,
on.
Yeah, Fox was there, Fox News.
That's where I was going with this. Donald Trump's meeting with the New York Times is back on, his spokeswoman says.
Okay.
He backed off a few hours ago on Twitter and said because they wanted it on the record, he did not.
And, to be fair, they are the New York Times, and off the record is not really how they're supposed to do things. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, we went to investigate this, and if you want to know what we found out, it'll cost you a dollar or something like that.
So, all the news that's fit to print.
Yeah. My favorite line, I think, just in this whole thing about not pursuing charges against Hillary Clinton— And it was from Kellyanne Conway when she said that the president-elect would like to move beyond the issues of the campaign.
Yeah, which is,
however,
that is a strange statement.
It is a strange statement considering that the issues of the campaign
were got him elected.
Were mostly promises about what he planned to do after he got elected.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're going to move beyond those to anything new coming up, I mean, you know, great. Take care of new things that come up, but on the other hand, you had about a year and a half where we were promised a lot of stuff.
Yeah. And that's why a lot of people vote. Well, that's why everybody voted for him. That voted for him is because they liked his campaign rhetoric, right?
Well, probably.
That's all they had to go on. All right. KBOI News Time 9:12. Let's go to the phones. Randy of Twin Falls. Randy, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, guys. That is an interesting point about what Ms. Conway said about moving beyond the campaign, but I don't know if that means, forgive and, you know, the campaign rhetoric. But
yeah, it could mean that, too. That's a good point. It could mean let's get over that and work together.
Yeah, and another thing that caught my attention was she said that, you know, that 70% of the people felt that Hillary was dishonest and that, which in my humble experience, there's not much of a consequence if somebody is, if their personality and character is deceitful, and if they're engaged in criminal activities, they really care less. They don't conduct their lives on, you know, what people are going to think about them. If they did, then they wouldn't be.
Yeah.
Criminal and they
I think there are people there are people who seek respect and there are people who crave approval.
That's pretty profound. But what I mean is, you know, it sounds like she was tap dancing around there on, you know, those comments are not and besides, she said he said, but we haven't heard him say it, so.
Well, yeah, if whatever it cost her the election, because that's basically all Trump hit on, was the fact that she was not trustworthy. All right,
yeah,
thanks.
Okay, you bet. Thanks. Yeah,
thanks, Randy.
Well, and essentially the whole campaign, he was saying, you know, are you happy right now or would you like to see some changes?
Exactly.
And she didn't really offer changes.
She didn't offer much. I mean, I think one of the things that, cost Hillary the election was the fact that she...
took the high road?
Took the... Well, in a way, she seemed almost to distance herself from the things they were talking about in the debates and really, outside of a few things, didn't answer much, whereas he fired from the hip.
Yeah.
And said some stuff that he took back in the next one but did this and did that. But at least he was giving his opinion, and she kind of wasn't.
Exactly. And the language that each of them used, the particular wording of their answers, his sounded like answers, hers sounded like avoidance.
Yeah. All right, it's 9:15. If you want to go to the Boise State basketball game on Friday night, we have a pair of tickets to the game against Presbyterian Friday night at 7 o'clock at Taco Bell Arena. Be caller number 4 at 336-3711. 336-3711. We'll be back. KBOI News Time, 9:20. KBOI rewards code is DROP. D-R-O-P.
As in drop the subject, drop the charges.
Drop the charges.
Drop the intention, whatever.
Drop me off at the bakery. I'm getting gingerbread.
Drop the football.
Mm-hmm. And we do have a winner. We have a winner on our thing. Teresa Holdercroft.
Mm-hmm. All right. Congratulations, Teresa.
57 years old. I'm sorry, Teresa. I didn't give your name on the air, your age on the air. She's got tickets.
Well done. Tickets to see Presbyterian versus Boise State.
Blake of Caldwell, you're on 670 KBOI. Good morning.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. I hope you're having a blessed day before Turkey Day.
Yep, not bad.
Yeah. Well, you know this thing with Hillary?
Mm-hmm.
I think it just really shows the intelligence of Trump and his people. I think what's going to happen is they're not going to charge or pursue anything to her. And I think Trump is going to remove himself from that and put it in the hands of Mr. Sessions until after the inauguration.
Isn't his new attorney general, or the person who probably will be his new attorney general.
Right. And then after the inauguration, when Obama can't pardon or do anything else, okay, I think then, you know, they're probably going to pursue, because the emails that Benghazi, the foundation, it was all so corrupt and so illegal.
I bet they never do anything.
Well, you know, you may be right, Paul J.
And I may be wrong. I'll admit that, but I don't think they're going to do anything.
Well, I think that sooner or later, she's going to face the consequences for her illegal activities. And I think this regime is intelligent enough not to incite more riots and create more problems and wait until this thing all settles down. And then before 2017's over, actually, personally, I pray she's in a little orange jumpsuit.
All right. Well, he did.
All right, thanks, Blake.
Yeah, and he said the White House wouldn't pursue it. He didn't say the executive branch wouldn't pursue it. And of course, the Justice Department, or at least the Attorney General, would be part of that, not necessarily in the White House. Although, to me, it kind of means the same thing.
Yeah, it does. It would look like he's jumping the fence.
Maybe.
Let's go to John in Meridian. John, good morning.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Hey, I'm trying that new hands-free thing, but I don't know how well it works.
Sounds good.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to say. They're going to wait until after, because I don't know. They don't even have to have charges brought against. I thought they did, but evidently they don't have to have charges brought against someone to pardon them.
Yeah, I learned that, too, today.
And I think if he's not careful, Donald Trump, if he's not careful, and it may not make any difference, but Barack Obama is going to wait until the 11th hour of the inauguration to pardon her, just to be spiteful, you know, or... But she and we need to charge her for that stuff, because the rule of law is degraded if we don't.
Well, here's my deal, and I thought of this. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, go ahead.
But if she does not have to be charged, Obama could just go ahead and pardon her anyway.
He will. I think he will. He'll wait to the 11th hour thinking, you know, just out of evil spite, and then pardon her.
Yeah, might happen.
The word you were looking for earlier when you were talking about Hillary taking the high road was condescension, I think.
Yeah. That's actually a pretty good word. I was searching, I was struggling for a word there. She seemed distanced from everything.
Yeah, she's a little stuff, you know, above and beyond everybody else. You know, and one thing I want to clarify from something was said last week about the rioters, the paid rioters, is that they were hired to riot if Hillary Clinton won.
And yeah, that story ended up being not accurate.
At least one of them did.
Yeah, one of them. The one where they were paid $3,500. Oh, that wasn't a rioter. I'm sorry. That was a guy who was supposed to go in and disrupt the Trump rally.
Right.
But that story was false.
But he was paid to go do that.
No, he wasn't. That story was the guy who wrote the story came forth and said he just made it up.
True story. At any rate, they were going to riot if Hillary Clinton won and paint swastikas everywhere to make Donald Trump supporters look like Nazis, you know, evil people. And it surprised them that Hillary had lost, but they were still paid, in my opinion, and went out and had to do something, and they just went along the same, you know, violent lines of thinking and painted the swastikas anyway.
Yeah,
so
okay.
The same people doing it.
All right, good stuff, John. We're up against a hard break. Thanks for calling. It's 9:26.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 3, listen to Nate on 670 KBOI.
KBOI News Time, 9:36. Idaho Talks Live. I'm Chris Walton with Paul J. Schneider. And
playing big band hits.
Very quickly, in Orlando, Florida, I just wanted to mention this. A mother has filed a complaint against a mall Santa. Why would there already be a mall Santa?
Oh, the Santa's at the Boise Town Square was okay. There, I don't know, over the weekend maybe?
Okay,
I think I saw it over the weekend.
Thursday at 6 p.m., you can go out black market, right?
Apparently, though, I'm woefully out of touch. So, okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, there was a mall Santa working at a mall in Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
And he was telling, there was a little girl on his lap, and he was talking about, he says, well, you're on the nice list. And then he told her the only person on his naughty list this year was Hillary Clinton. And apparently her mother didn't like that.
I mean, it's not at Santa Claus's place to say that kind of stuff.
He has not been fired by the mall, though, because...
Really?
I mean, there might be only one jolly fat guy in Orlando, so, you know, they have to...
Yeah, but he's got a tan.
Well, yeah. You know. Okay. What were we going to talk about in the Idaho legislature?
Yeah.
And I don't know, just kind of... I'll read you a sentence or two, and you tell me what essentially they're saying here.
Okay.
They sent out a press release... yesterday that said Idaho Democrats start rapid response team. You know, and the first thing I thought was, well, what's a rapid response team?
Buy an ambulance.
Well, yeah, something like that, or a fireman. Idaho Democrats, it says, are seeing an outpouring of support from people who want to get involved and get to work improving our state for workers, families, and businesses. Okay, so apparently there are a lot of people calling up the Democratic Party and saying, hey, you know, what can we do to make things better for the Democratic Party.
Yeah, our business of the week yesterday was, what was that called? B-Vape, mm-hmm. Something. Yeah.
Where you...
Same deal.
Yeah, attract people to the area.
Right.
It says, we are creating a rapid response team to amplify our members' voices to hold GOP elected officials and the Trump administration accountable. So essentially what they're saying is we know we don't have very many Democrats in the legislature, so we need volunteers to also speak up and tell everybody, you know, what we're doing. It goes on, we usually don't see this type of activity immediately after elections, said Executive Director Sally Boynton Brown. Mm-hmm. Since November 9th, we had hundreds of people calling, emailing, stopping by the office, wondering how they can volunteer and make a difference in our state.
Nothing wrong with that.
probably would have been a better idea before November 8th.
Yeah.
Idaho Democrats will ensure that GOP legislators focus on high-priority issues for Idahoans, ensuring our children have a 21st-century education and that our small businesses can thrive.
My question is, they're
putting together a team whose job it is essentially to make sure that the Republican legislators take up some Democrat causes.
Why didn't they do that when Obama was president?
Well, I don't know. It says the Idaho Dems Rapid Response Team will hold the GOP legislators accountable for every piece of legislation considered, alert communities about opportunities to engage their elected leaders, and provide call to actions about potentially damaging decisions made by the GOP. This is stuff that a political party does anyway.
Well, or should do.
So, essentially, instead of rapid response team creation, this is saying the Idaho Democrat Party is trying to recruit more people.
Maybe that's the thing, recruit more people. But everything they said there could have and should have
been done
when Obama was president. Just because we had a Democrat in the White House does not mean that we still didn't have a preponderance of Republican legislators in the state of Boise, in the state of Idaho, and the fact that, most of the Democratic bills, et cetera, are kind of left on the back burner while the Republicans run the show.
People who live outside town, by the way, thought you said that correctly.
Yeah. But anyway, they should have been doing that all along, right?
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
No, it says for their purposes, yeah.
They're just making noise. They just want pub.
He says we've also had an impressive number of people reach out to us about running for office. Again,
good.
Could have happened a year ago.
Good.
There are important races for school boards, city councils, and special districts in 2017, and we're ready to help progressive candidates get their message to the voters. Now,
they got a new publicity person.
This is something that probably both the Republican and Democrat Party are going to do over the next couple of years. They are going to try to get a bunch of new people, if they can, new blood, new ideas. They don't have to necessarily be young people, but just people who are new to the process.
Sure.
And have them run for the school board and the city council and the county commission and various other offices just to get involved and get out there and be part of the process so that, when it comes time to run maybe for Congress, people have actually heard their name before.
Do you ever think about running for office?
No.
I did. There is so much to do, and I'm not trying to dissuade anybody from running for office. You have to know so much about so many things, mm-hmm. and you have to be so careful about every single thing you say that I went,
with the exception, apparently, of running for president.
Yeah, okay. But I thought, I'm not cut out for this. I'm too busy for this. Mm-hmm. I don't have, time for this. And then, then you start going, well, I kind of like the people that are in my district anyway. I kind of, so then... That was me.
Okay.
I looked into it. I thought about it. I had people express interest in me running, both parties, running for office.
Really?
Yeah, both parties.
That's interesting. It was like Eisenhower.
And I decided against it.
It was so funny because when it came time for the 1952 election or the campaign, both parties, both the Democrat and the Republican Party, asked Eisenhower to run because they didn't know whether he was a Republican or a Democrat. And he finally chose Republican.
Yep. And won.
And, beat Adlai Stevenson twice. But, again, they say if you're interested in running for office, contact Sally Boynton Brown. But this is something I think that,
If you're interested, go ahead and do it. Don't be like me.
Or the other party, whichever party you want to run for. Or, and there are libertarians and various other people.
Doesn't matter.
Constitution
Get
Party.
Get involved in the process.
A lot of those people. But this is something I think nationwide that both parties are going to try to do. If you have a big shakeup at the top, and I think that's kind of what this election was for both parties, not just the Democrat, but a big shakeup at the top, you kind of have to start grassroots again and start over. And you know how this is. We were talking about that thing in the 70s where the guy was running for Chicago alderman. And, wanted to take the high road and talk the issues. Well, he didn't get very many votes because he didn't get out in the street and insult people
like his opponent,
like the other candidate did, because that guy went out, got down to the level of the people and and I don't mean that condescendingly, but got down to kind of a grassroots level and stood out in the street and told people, here's what I'm going to do for you. Mm-hmm. In the same way, in a lot of the districts, at least in the Boise area, there have been party changes when a candidate went out and knocked on every single door in the entire district.
Yeah.
And a few of them have won.
So my part in the government thing is serving on commissions. That's what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's enough. And sometimes almost too much.
Yeah.
And those people on commissions in the state who get paid whatever, $50 a meeting or whatever they get paid,
mm-hmm.
They make the state run. I mean, they keep it going because...
As opposed to bringing it to a halt.
Well, yeah.
Because some people do that.
Yeah. I mean, like I'm on a racing commission,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know how to run the racing office, but I do know about racing, and I do know about this and that, laws.
Sure.
And
yeah.
And
you can have a voice, an opinion, and an influence.
Yeah, exactly. And the other people on the commission, and I mean, we all try to do our best.
But essentially, both parties are saying right now, if you want something to happen, don't sit back and watch and hope.
Bingo. KBOI News Time, 9:45. All right, we are back, Paul, Jay, and Chris. I've lost my story. Donald Trump, 2 weeks after Election Day, most Americans say Donald Trump will ultimately do a good job. Do you agree with that?
I don't know yet.
Bingo. As president, though fewer approve of the way he's handled the transition so far, this according to a new CNN ORC poll. I don't know what ORC means. A narrow majority, 53%, say they think Trump will do a very or fairly good job as president. 40% say they have a lot of confidence in Trump to deal with the economy, a share that outpaces the percentage who had that much confidence in Barack Obama, George W. Bush, Bill Clinton, or Ronald Reagan ahead of their first inaugurations. So that's pretty good, actually.
They weren't billionaires.
No.
And a lot of people just say, okay, here's a guy with billions of dollars, apparently knows something about money.
True. The perception comes as majorities think Trump will achieve several of the goals outlined during his campaign as top priorities. Nearly three quarters say Trump is likely to repeal and replace Obamacare. Two-thirds think he will renegotiate NAFTA. 6 in 10 say he'll create good-paying jobs in economically challenged areas.
Okay, so those, essentially, you're giving the numbers of people who believe what he said he would do.
Right. Separately, 63% say they expect the economy to be in good shape 1 year from now. That's the highest share to say so since September 2012. Americans are more divided over whether Trump will drain the swamp and reduce the amount of...
Well, and a lot of that's based on the current people he's been setting up as his cabinet.
Yeah.
Most of them very much Washington insiders. But again, you know, what we said a couple of weeks ago, his strategy at this point might be simply to get the Republicans on his side.
Yeah.
Because if no one's on his side, he's not going to get a lot passed.
No, he's not going to get anything. But draining the swamp basically means reducing the amount of corruption in Washington. 51% think he'll do that. Defeating ISIS, 50% see that as likely. Or build a wall along the border with Mexico, 49% see that as likely. All told, 66% say a Trump presidency will bring change to the country. But just 43% say it will be change for the better.
Hmm.
20 points below the 63% who thought Obama would bring change for the better back in 2008. That share has dropped precipitously among independents from 88% Obama to 60% for Trump.
I love that question about, do you think there will be some kind of change? So you're asking me, do I think that Trump is different than Obama? Yeah.
Still, you can be different than Obama, not get anything changed.
Well, true.
Yeah.
Change essentially requires a lot of things to be done.
Yeah.
So.
Among Democrats, even when compared to Republican ratings of Obama, 49% of Republicans thought Obama would bring a change for the better. Only 22% of Democrats say that Trump will bring a change for the better.
But 22% of Democrats do say that?
22%.
That seems high.
Well, it's not as high as 49% of Republicans who thought Obama would.
Okay, well, okay, that's a good point.
Yeah. Trump's favorability has risen post-election. I think that's true. I think he's handled himself very well since winning the election.
Well, to a certain number of people, it's resigning yourself to what has now happened. You know,
there's a certain amount of resignation. You can have
very strong opinions right before the election, but once the election's over, you know, it's time to be America again.
Yeah, we've lost. Let's pull together. 47% have a favorable view of him, 50% unfavorable, though still tilting negative. Those ratings outpaced the previous high reached just after the GOP convention in July, when 43% saw him favorably. Reviews mixed for his transition so far. 46 approve of his handling of the transition. 45 disapprove. That's a push. Those marks are well below approval ratings for Obama, Bush, or Clinton during their transitions to the presidency.
Helena Boise wrote in to say, can't we leave the campaigning behind us?
Please.
I'm willing to listen to plans of our future president, but otherwise, I like when you guys talk about four-wheel versus all-wheel and dog training. Well, we do that, too.
Yeah, and we'll get back to that. But there's, you know, today a few important things. And
H.G. McCall says, look up how many presidents have not followed through on their campaign promises. As I remember, in my mere 68 years, a lot of presidents don't follow through on many so-called promises. Well, I think, and if you listen to the wording, a lot of them say, well, Trump was pretty adamant about some things like, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. But a lot of people running for president say, I will work toward this.
Yeah. Very careful on how they structure their syntax. 9:55, something to think about with Mike Rogers is next. Brought to you by Boise Church of Christ, where church is family. Check them out on the World Wide Web at boisechurch.org. We're stopped by 2000 North El Dorado Sundays at 10:30. See you tomorrow.
Now, something to think about with Mike Rogers.
With President Obama in his final months in office, he's working to cement his self-proclaimed greatest diplomatic achievement, a nuclear deal with Iran, the world's leading state sponsor of terrorism. The Obama administration is considering steps to allow more American businesses to sell to Iran and is lifting certain sanctions. The current administration has praised Iran for abiding by the nuclear agreement. They truly seem to believe that Iran could emerge as a partner in stabilizing the Middle East. As they try to convince the new administration the deal is working, Iran is certainly violating the spirit of the agreement, which continued missile testing and stockpiling of heavy water, a key dual-use component of nuclear weapons. The Obama administration actually bought excess heavy water from Iran to keep them in compliance. They have bent over backwards to help Iran comply with the bad nuclear deal, but I can assure you that won't be the case in a new Trump administration. Something to think about. I'm Mike Rogers.